The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
I want to take a deep breath. It's been a really fun morning. So I got a call last night that I have a patient that was in some kind of accident, and I was supposed to be in Spartanburg, not teaching. I was just supposed to be in Spartanburg, and I get a call, and I was like, well, you know what? I have a Bowling Springs office. I'll meet you at the office, and then I'll just go to church from there. So I was on my way to Bowling Springs, and I get a text from Kyle, and Kyle said, I need you. And I'm like, this is not good, because I'm not anywhere close to Cherrydale, and I'm going to work on a lady. I have no idea how long this is going to take. And he's like, just be there. And so anyway, I fixed her up, jumped in the car, and have not looked at any notes. And I got them about when Terry started talking. So I was looking over the notes for this morning. And just another side note that I don't know that too many people know, but I'm dyslexic. So when I teach every week, I actually preach my sermon on Monday morning, and I record it, and I actually listen to it two or three times a day for the whole week, and so I don't need notes. Well, guess what? I need notes this morning, so this may be, it may be really interesting, but we're super glad you're here. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians this morning. I hope you're well, super excited. I'm normally in Spartanburg, and we have lots of college students that are back also, and we celebrated some of that last week, and so we're thankful for you. There's a whole, you guys know it, there's a different energy when you're here. So we're glad you're here, and we are praying for you as you step into another year. One of the things I like, and I'm a little weird with it, I like structure, and so I do get a little excited about school starting just because it takes us out of this summer mode of just kind of, you know, being free, and it gives us some structure. And I like it. It helps me because I need structure and my family needs structure. So one of the things that we tend to do around here, if you're visiting this morning, normally what you'll see is that we teach through books of the Bible. And so we chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And so we just got out of Psalms for the summer, which we're going to be in there for 15 years. And we're going to be in there for 15 years. And and then we're taking a short break over the next couple weeks. We were here last week just to kind of reset and to really go back to why are we here? Like, what is the reason to be here this morning? And we're going to do this next week also before we jump into 1 Timothy as we go into the fall. We are, if you've been around Summit a while, Terry just briefly talked about it, there's these words that you've been hearing, especially over the last couple years, this word, intimacy, community, and mission. That's who we are. And they're all intertwined into really, if you look especially at intimacy and community, especially, they come together, and they actually is what fuels the mission of why we're here this morning. And as far as intimacy is concerned, our lives are marked by being with and enjoying God. And we do that in community. Our lives are continue to be shaped by the people of God, which is precisely the way God designed for it to operate in his genius. On mission, and our lives are engaged in this redemptive work of God in the world. And so we talked about these three pillars, especially if you were here in January as we looked at that. And what we want to do this morning briefly is we want to look at it from Scripture, because it's all throughout Scripture. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians, starting in chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 12, and we're going to read through verse 18. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what he was being brought to an end. But their minds were hardened, For to this day, when they read the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to the day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over the hearts, but when one turns to the Lord and the veil is removed, now the Lord in the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all with unveiled face behold the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So Paul, he takes us back to Exodus 34 here, and after Moses has met with the Lord on Mount Sinai, when he received the tablets with the law, his face was shining. It was shining because he had been in the presence of God, and he was reflecting the Lord's glory to the degree that he had to cover his face when he came into public. Or otherwise, they couldn't see him, right? So Paul uses this imagery that the old story that he tells the Corinthians that they would have been familiar with, that the folks around them knew, who did not know Jesus, particularly those who still lived according to the old covenant and refused to acknowledge Jesus as Lord. It's like that they have a veil over their face to the truth that of Jesus and the gospel, and they're blind to it. They can't see it. So I want you to stop for a second there, because what we start to see here in just these few verses is this picture of intimacy and community, and they're bound together. And we don't have a whole lot of time to dig into to how deep that goes, but the first thing that Paul says is that we behold the glory of the Lord with unveiled face, and we are being transformed into the same image of Christ from one degree of glory to another. And that is the work of the Spirit. That's what Paul is saying. And hear me, Paul is speaking of intimacy with the Lord here. In Corinth, was not a whole lot different than where we are today. It was filled with thousands of people, with thousands of different beliefs, and thousands of different cultures. There was a lot going on, and the church itself was also in conflict. They were wrestling with sin and wrestling with division and false teaching. It was a mess. And Paul reminds these folks they experienced in this supernatural work of the Spirit as they gaze at Jesus to listen to the words of Jesus and walk in obedience to Jesus. They are by the Spirit being made to look more and more like Jesus. And the same God who Paul is speaking about here, the same Jesus, the same Spirit, is active today in our midst. The same work. And it doesn't happen in isolation. In verse 18, we just read, it says, we all are being transformed by one degree of glory to another. Every single one of us. Paul is speaking to the whole church here, and as much as we tend to think of our intimacy with the Lord in terms of individual quiet times and these prayer closets, which are not bad things, right? They're great. All of which are right and good, but ultimately, they must play out in the text of community. They have to. It's the way God designed it. All of which are part of what we're talking about this morning. Not because we want to exist as a church or have small groups or anything like that, but because this is how God designed it to be. Intimacy, community. And Paul uses the story of Moses to remind us. Look at chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Therefore, having this ministry, by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the opening statement of truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. And in their case, the God of the world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as the Lord with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown us in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. See, Paul reminds the Corinthians of what God is doing to grow them together. And you see it here in verses 5 and 6. We do not proclaim ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord. We're simply your servants for Jesus, for Jesus' sake. And in the story we tell that God has shown a light on us, Paul here is probably thinking about and alluding to his own experiences in life, his own testimony, his own grace story. The light had allowed us to know God as we came to know Jesus, and it's just that simple. This is what God has accomplished in me and in you. And this is what he's tasked us to do. C.K. Barrett says this on these two verses, which I thought was really good. This is our mission, to participate in the redemptive work of God in the world through our proclamation of the gospel and our presentation of a spirit-changed life that are in the process of being transformed, evermore to look and sound and act like Jesus. Intimacy. Community, mission. And this is what shapes, if you've been around Summit very long, this is what shapes our Sunday morning services, our Bible studies, our classes, our post-service lunches, our serving opportunities. It's certainly what shapes our life groups, and which is what we're going to talk about over the next few minutes. And next week, we'll have a little bit more on this. If you are here and you're not part of life groups, We're in what we call a ramping stage. So this is over the next several weeks. This is the time to do it. We would encourage you, if you're not a part of a life group, it's a big part of who we are. We want you to get plugged in. And in January, we began talking about how we want to reframe and clarify the purpose of the life groups, what they're to look like. And we're going to continue to talk about that over the next couple of weeks. But I want to consider how it is that the life group is actually to function. So let me clarify a couple things. If you're new to Summit, you may be even wondering what a life group is. And they're just a small group of folks. It's a small group of folks who grow in intimacy with the Lord together for the pursuit of the mission of God and redeeming people to himself. And that's what we mean when we talk about life groups. So when we talk about these words, intimacy and community and mission, that is all part of the life group itself. So intimacy is where it starts, because as we grow in who we are in Christ, it actually infiltrates in all of this, right? So our groups are likely everywhere where they're meeting and when they're meeting. We're intended to build upon and center our whole group around the Word of God. So I don't know, I've been to many life groups through the years, a part of different churches, and they look differently, but that's what we do here. So to that end, our primary ways that we want to cultivate intimacy within the groups is by prioritizing the reading of Scripture first. Hearing the Spirit of God through the Word of God in the midst of His people is a powerful, powerful thing. And we want to be a part of the centerpiece of this. So we want it to be in the midst of everything. So whether you're having a meal or you're hanging out together, this is the centerpiece. This is where we want you to be as far as the life group goes. And we also want to promote the intimacy with our life groups by fostering a consistent engagement in the Word, not just in the group, that throughout the week. We presented these questions last year, and we've gotten lots of testimonies from it. But if you remember the five questions that we've asked you to ask as you walk through the Scripture, first of all is, who is God? What does the text say about the nature and the character of God? Second, what has He done? What does the text say about the work and the activity of God? Three, who are we in light of that? What does the text say about our identity in this particular Scripture? And then how do we live? In light of all this, how does this change the way I live my life? And five, who do we tell? Who can I share these things with and encourage them and in my circle of accountability? And there are numerous ways of this intimacy with the Lord in the way we have it set up, but it's a reminder that it is the center driving piece of why we're meeting as life groups. The second thing, the second part of this, and we just briefly talked about it, Terry mentioned it, is community, right? It's this picture of community that we just read, but growing in intimacy with the Lord and engaging in his redemptive work of God in this world is designed to happen in meaningful relationships. And these relationships are forged over time. It takes time. And because of that, one of the things that we've started is, for a couple reasons with our life groups, is if you notice this summer, we kind of gave you the summer off. So the idea is that we would set these groups up starting from September pretty much through December 10th. So September 10th through December 10th is we're asking if you're going to be a part to be in for that period of time, right? So we want consistency. We want you to be all in. And so this gives you a period of time where you say, yes, I'm committed to that. And then we're going to do the same thing as we look into the spring. We'll jump in January, and we'll go through the end of April, the beginning of May. But because these relationships cannot thrive and grow deep if there is a lack of consistency. And you've been a part of groups. We all have, where it just becomes, because there's inconsistency, there's a lack of transparency, there's a lack of intentionality. But when we're all in, I hate saying that because I'm a Gamecock fan, but when we're all in, it changes things. So we want you to think about it and pray about it as we step into the next several weeks is hey, am I in? And we would encourage you in that. And then the final thing that we're going to be introducing over this year is this picture of mission. And it's where my heart is. But Paul told us in 2 Corinthians that our formation in Christ isn't just so that we get to heaven when we die. We are redeemed in Christ, informed by the Spirit, to participate in the redemptive mission of God in this world. So our learning and how to be with God and enjoying him and hearing his voice and growing up in Christ and forming these deep and meaningful friendships that culminates in our participation with God in what he's doing, in our circles, in the places that he's placed us and where we're doing life. And we want to make that a part of life groups, right? So one of the things that we talked about, it's been about over a year now, and if you got to be a part of the My Circle training, Jim Murphy was out, and we went through this two-day training, and it's been great. But one of the things that we've asked you in your life groups is to identify a My Circle catalyst. And this person doesn't necessarily have to be an evangelist. Sometimes it's better if they're not. But just someone that has a heart for the community, a heart for the circle, that would be willing to be kind of an administrative person in the midst of it. And one of the things that we talked about that we wanted you to start immediately is taking time to identify people that may be close to you that are far from God. And once you've identified those people, would you take time daily to pray for them? And one of the things that our life group has done is we made the list, and we all took a picture of it, and we sent it. And so not only am I praying for Seth and Chad, but my whole life group is now praying for Seth and Chad. So one of the things that we want you to do, oh boy, so my iPad just died. So one of the things, it's just getting better and better. One of the things that we want you to do is to, as a life group, would you commit to that? And it's not a just, it's a big thing. It's just taking time. So I pray it every day at 10:02. I set it so it pops up, and then I just start going through the list. But what would it look like if we did that? So the ask is, would there be one person in your group that would be willing to step into that? And here's the beauty of that, is that person is going to be kind of the person that not only is going to kind of talk about updates and things, but one of the things we want you to do is to celebrate in your life groups what God's doing in the midst of that. Like, it may be small drips, it may be small degrees where, for instance, before the summer, we've been praying for this guy who's a neighbor of one of the guys in our life group, and it was simply just that he had made a connection at the mailbox that led to dinner in 2 weeks. You know what that is? You celebrate that. Because God's working in the midst of that, and he's moving in the midst of that. So those are the kind of things, the kind of ask that we look for with our catalyst. So if you haven't done that, I'm actually going to be kind of running lead on that. So I'll be throughout this coming year, I'll be kind of contacting the catalyst. But would you start thinking about who that is and praying about that person? Because it's very important as we look at mission. The other thing that we want you to do, and we're going to give you a list. So every one of our campuses is different, but we want you to be on mission together. So what we're going to do, and we have these already in play, is give you a list of places where you as a life group can go and serve on mission together to love your circle. And we want to be that to be a part of the life group time. Now, the beauty of that is that really is, there's two degrees there. So that can come from this list of partners that we already partner with and love, but it doesn't have to stay there. We have a group in Spartanburg last year. We started talking about this a little bit, and on their own, so organically, it's not something we asked them to do, they decided that once a month that they were going to, as a group, go downtown Spartanburg and feed the homeless. And one of those guys preaches a sermon every time they go down there, and they just pass out food till they have no food left to pass out. And now it's become such a ministry, they're wanting them to come more and more, and so it's growing, and so we have other groups that are wanting to be a part of it, and they're jumping in. And that's the kind of thing. So those are the kind of things we want you to start strategically thinking about in your life group. The other thing is, it could just simply be that you're trying to reach your neighborhood. And so one of our groups last year decided to, and I know a lot of y'all do this, so I'm using what I know, but they decided that they're going to throw a little block party in their neighborhood, and so they invited everybody from their neighborhood, and then they invited people from their life group to be there and be a part of it, and it was just a time of fellowship. And what's crazy is out of that has come it's really taken an effect, because they went from these surface conversations that turned to serious conversations that has led to spiritual conversations just from intentionality of a group. It's mission. And so here's what I want to kind of leave you with this morning. Yep, here it goes. Say prayer works. I want you to think about these three questions as we step into this year. Will you intentionally seek to be formed as a disciple of Jesus? Two, will you intentionally seek to help others be formed as a disciple of Jesus? And thirdly, will you intentionally seek to allow others to see your formation so that your life in the word and in deed bears witness to the power and the hope of the gospel? You may read them all? Okay, here we go. I talk fast, I am sorry. And I'm really talking fast this morning. I hadn't had coffee in like 6 months, and so I decided this morning I needed it. And I'm feeling really, really good right now. So here we go. Number one, will you intentionally seek to be formed as a disciple of Jesus? Two, will you intentionally seek to help others be formed as disciples of Jesus? Thirdly, will you intentionally seek to allow others to see your formation so that your life in word and in deed bears witness to the power and the hope of the gospel? I have been a part of Summit now for 13 years, and I thank the Lord every day for Summit. I am the son of a Southern Baptist preacher, went to Gardner Webb University, and so all I know is church, or mostly what I know. And here's part of my story. I was at a really good church 14 years ago. I was being fed. I was serving, and I was being a part. But I was very burdened, because most churches, if we're honest, about 10% of the people do 100% of the work. And it's kind of what I felt. And so I was, you know, I just kind of accepted, well, maybe this is the way it is. And then I probably get choked up. Jim Geyer walks into my chiropractic office one day and says, hey, I didn't know Jim Geyer, but I do now. And I did then real quickly. And he said, hey, we're getting ready to start a church in Duncan at the Y. And the Lord told me to ask you to be there. I said, you being for real, Jim, or are you just trying to come be, let me be a part of your church? He said, no. And so Sarah and I went, and we walk in, and we see this mission statement. Every man, woman, a child. And it grabbed me immediately, and then we get in, and immediately the whole morning was about this mission and what it looked like. It was the why, it was the how, and it was the what. And I remember walking out and sitting in the car and looking at Sarah. It's like, this is where we're supposed to be, isn't it? She said, yeah. And for 13 years, it hasn't changed. It's who we are. And here's what's interesting, and I'm not trying to put pressure on you, is what I've seen as an elder and what I've seen as a pastor is that you either get it or you don't get it. The people that get it stay. The people that don't get it, they usually come and go. But if you want to know who we are, this is who we are. And I thank the Lord for it every day. I love being on mission with you. I love my day being so intentional that I think through every second of it. And it's because of what Summit has taught me. So I just want to encourage you. Like, as we look at the fall and you look at the opportunity to step into life groups, this is why we want you to be a part. So would you pray about it? I'm gonna ask you to bow your heads where you're at. And I just want to pray over you. The team's going to come up. Lord, we love you because you loved us first. And Lord, I thank you for the morning, even though it's always humbling and it's always one of those things where I'm reminded that this is all about you. But I thank you for Summit and for what you're doing. Thank you for the wonderful people you've brought here and what you're doing in their lives. Lord, we just want to be used. We want to grow closer to you, and we want to continue to be shaped into your image so that we are lights in the places that you've placed us. Because the gospel goes in us. And so intentionally, as we live our lives, as we go, we know that you're going. So whether it's the grocery store, or whether it's the ball field, or whether it's school, or whether it's work, or whether it's in our families, the gospel is being proclaimed. Lord, we thank you for your design and your genius. Lord, would you help us to see it? Would you help us to open our eyes to what you're doing? Continue to shape us. Continue to use us for your glory. Lord, we ask these things in your precious holy name. Amen.
Thank you for joining for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child the repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.